All right. Jane's got a question. And Jane, if you're able to unmute and you want to talk me through this so I don't have to squint and read the font and it's not on you, it's on me, it's just in the chat. It is really small.
Hi, Deborah.
Hey, how are you?
Well, pretty good. I didn't know how much information you would want, so I tried to anticipate.
So lay it on me. What's your question? And I can probe you for a question.
Well, my question basically is, this was my first day on a continuous glucose monitor.
Great.
And I put it on at 12:30. It takes about the hour to for it to kick in.
Yep.
And I had finished lunch at 12:30 with your delicious lamb stew recipe, by the way. Anyway, the low has been going off multiple times today. So as I'm sitting here talking to you, I have an 82, and that's the highest I've had all day. It's been going down to 60, staying in the 70s. So we're, ask me questions.
Is this the first time that you've worn one?
No, I did one back in 2022 and I had similar results with it. Oh, I just realized I hadn't turned on my camera. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I had similar results with going low to the point where I had to turn it off at night because it would just constantly wake me up.
Yeah.
And I was waking up every 2 hours and eating fruit and cheese or, whatever I could figure out. And I was still waking up throughout the night. I'm not diabetic. I'm trying to think what else would help. I'm just on hormones. So that's it. I'm not caffeine adapted, so I don't do caffeine, so I don't get those, energy spikes or anything. And then my other question there, and I don't know if these are related. I'm also having trouble digesting fats, and I thought you might have some insights there too. So anyway, I just because I've been having a lot of low energy, and I was trying to figure out, is it the blood sugar? Am I exercising too hard or not getting the rest in I need or not sleeping at night? And so I thought the continuous glucose monitor would be a really quick way to eliminate one of those issues.
Yeah, good choice. And so we're about, I don't know where you are time-wise, but you're probably what, 3 to 4 hours into wearing, is that right?
Yeah, it's my first measurement was at 1:30, and you and I are in the same time zone,
Okay.
so.
Okay. So about 3.5 hours. And when you did one before, do you know how did exercise impact you?
I don't remember that having a huge impact. When I did it before, I was more focused on my eating times. I noticed in the past that if I get about at the 2.5 hour mark, that little arrow would start going down. And so if I waited to 3 hours, it was plummeting and the alarm would go off. So
Okay.
I think I might have been eating too clean, to tell you the truth.
So potentially so. So do you mind talking me through what'd you have for breakfast and what'd you have for lunch?
Okay. Well, this morning I did a very gentle mobility workout. It wasn't heavy strength training or anything, and that was about at 8:30. And so then about 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, breakfast was 3 eggs with mushrooms, whole wheat toast with some homemade raspberry preserves, and that was it. And then lunch was the lamb stew, and then I had a cup of bone broth, chicken bone broth with that. And then, so I finished eating at 12:30. The glucose monitor said it would take like 1 hour before it was set up and ready to go. So my first reading at about 1:30 was 60.
Wow. Okay.
And so I right after that, then I ate a little orange, those little halos. Thinking, I'll help bring it back up. Didn't really bring it up much. And then I actually kind of thought, well, I'm just gonna, I was tired. And I
Yeah.
sat down, I was gonna read a book. I couldn't read a book. I took a nap.
Yeah.
Woke up from the nap and went outside to help my husband a little bit with a project. I was just holding a board, is all. When I got done holding that board, I went to sit down And the alarm went off again. I was below in the 60 range. So I had a snack of, I had just sitting there some of the peanut butter pretzels. And then I thought, and that didn't affect it at all. It didn't change one bit. And then, okay, I'll do the 15 squats. Love it, right? And it that kind of got me back out of the 60s into the 70s. And then I came up here to, you know, three flat or yeah, well, two flights of steps to come right out the question for you and get ready. So as I was sitting here, you know, typing, it's been wavering between 60 and or you know, mid-60s and like 72. Now that I'm talking and a little bit more animated, it's gone up to, let's see here. I got it up to 84.
I'm clearly stressful. Yes.
You're exciting.
Oh, thank you. That was so okay. Do you remember when you've worn it before? Where is it first thing in the morning for you?
I can't recall for sure. I don't think it was the only time I remember it getting over 120 is when I really tested it. I ate a candy bar and two cookies and I got it over 120.
All in the name of science.
Exactly. I had to take a hit for the team.
Saw that coming. Okay. So, wow. Okay. My guess is that you probably ride low. And so your norm is probably low. On a normal day, if we keep it tight the way we do wellness tracking, 0 to 4, 4 is optimal. Where would you put your energy? Like if I said just over the whole day, where is your energy usually at?
Over the whole day, if I had to average it between two and three, there's a few times when I hit a, you know, really good four and I feel like doing stuff, and that's usually early morning. Usually early morning. Afternoons, it's sliding down. And then I'll get maybe a little burst sometimes in the evening.
So how much protein do you think you had at your lunch in the lamb stew?
Well, I know with the stew and the broth is giving me 22. Yeah, it's a bone broth. And so that I think is giving me 22. And then I'm probably getting, it was a lot of lamb in there. It was pretty loaded. So I'm probably getting close to another, I'm hoping 20 maybe. So I'm up to four, a little over 40. It was a lot of meat. And then it had just the carrots and the sweet potatoes. And yeah. Now the toast that I had for breakfast, that might have been, you know, a little over the top, too many carbs for that.
Yeah, and the ratio of it. So you had 3 eggs, if I remember correctly. So it was about 18 grams of protein. And then the ratio of the protein to carb was probably more even than we would want, you know,
For
it to be
breakfast.
that first meal, a little higher in protein. But if you ride low, we may want a little bit more carbohydrate for you than we might for another woman here, just to bring it up and give you that sustainable energy. And the way you eat it matters. So many of you, we've talked about this, but eating those carbs last. So rather
That's what I did this morning.
than, okay, great. So that helps. So smart and wise. And it's just that you probably either need, you know, some other kind of animal protein at that meal, or you need to bump your number of eggs up a little bit.
Typically, I do eggs and sausage or eggs in a what do they call it? The bacon that doesn't have the bad nitrites in it. I do the good uncured bacon and stuff. So I usually have a meat with it with a couple of eggs for breakfast. It's pretty cheap. Or the protein shakes.
And do you notice any energy difference when you do the protein shakes versus eggs or something hard?
Not substantial. Not anything remarkable. No.
And you go kind of easy on the fruit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If I do have fruit, it'll be something like blueberries, maybe half of a halo, maybe half an apple, something like that, but not too heavy usually on the fruit until I try and save those carbs for those resistant starches at in the evening. And noon is usually a salad. I didn't, lettuce, greens. I didn't do that today though.
Okay. So I would just keep watching it and keep sharing. So share in the announcements inside of the app or the, ask the coach in there. Keep me posted on how you do, but I would definitely start your day with a little bit higher protein. I don't know that I would eliminate the carb, but I think you got to bump up the protein so that the ratio of the two of those is a little bit better. And I think you do want to keep some carb because you're riding low. And we know that protein and fat together are going to have the least impact on your blood sugar. So if you already ride low, you can stand to have some. You want some. And the biggest question is, what's going on with your energy level? So, and the same would be true for anybody who would say, well, I ride a little bit higher. And my blood sugar is normally a little bit higher. That might mean that for you, being at, 100 or 105 and coasting there or being there first thing in the morning, no matter what you do, if that doesn't come down, it doesn't necessarily mean you're unhealthy. We tend to say 85 plus or minus is kind of average. This is average good health when you're doing a fasting glucose. But we also have to look at, but how do you feel? What happens when you're doing that? And are you functioning really well and not running into a wall or caving and having to take a nap? So that's a sign. We don't want you to feel that way unless taking a nap has been your MO your entire life. And for some it has. But if it's, I just needed to lay down because I kind of hit a wall, that's, definitely not where we want to be. We know that, again, back to the fat has the least impact on blood sugar levels. So if you have a lot of fat, it may actually have the opposite of desired effect of somebody else who needs to take a high blood sugar number and bring it back down. And so for you, watching and making sure have a little bit of carbohydrate and maybe more even carbs and protein would be a better result for you. So you've got both the energy to sustain and you've got the protein to preserve the lean muscle mass. But if you have too much fat, may make you too full to have the other substrates. Does that make sense?
Well, and I think that ties into my other question a little bit, is I've noticed for most of my adult life, I've had problems with breakouts and I haven't been able to pin it down to anything. And recently we went out to eat and I'm pretty sure it was the oils that they used, because I just had a hamburger and tater tots and I think they were deep fried. I was a major breakout the next day. So since then, I've been kind of really watching my fats and monitoring them. And I had things kind of cleared up, and then went and tried some kettle chips, and which were all, they had an assortment of all seed oils that they were cooked in. And sure enough, I broke out. I'm not doing, I've also noticed I have trouble with butter now. And it's not from the waist up, it's from the waist down.
Got it. Okay.
So, and my doctor started me on a high quality fish oil, and I've only started taking them just for a week. I don't, he warned me about the possible, tasting it, belching, stomach upset. None of that, again, from the waist down. And I took them for about a week, and it's like, this isn't, the music was getting louder that week. And so I stopped them this week, and that has calmed down too. So something, I don't think I'm breaking down the fats, even, I don't want to label them good or bad, but the ones that my body adapts with, I don't think I haven't found the ones that I need to be getting yet. I haven't tested avocados yet, which I need to. Olive oil, I've only used in small amounts, so I can't say that I've really tested it well, because it's hard to stay off of certain types of oils for a long enough period to do that reintroduction, especially when you go out to eat or you're eating at someone else's home. It's tricky.
It is tricky. One suggestion might be, and you may want to, because you're working with your doctor kind of on this already, just run this by them and say, based on what we're trying to accomplish here and find out, would this interfere with what we're learning? But taking a digestive enzyme that's got lipase, particularly, and maybe you isolate that one and take only lipase and not the amylase and the protease that are going to break down carbs and protein, but just to isolate it. And then you're introducing that one thing to see if that doesn't help you. There
Where
are
does the betaine HCI fit in there?
the betaine HCl is the hydrochloric acid. So that is stomach acid and it's for breaking down food particles. It helps primarily with the problem that erupts for many women when hormones change and the microbiome changes in breaking down proteins, not just from lamb and fish or eggs, but the small particles of proteins that are in every food. And that becomes our biggest challenges. And especially then, as we are hearing, we need to eat more protein and we're probably under-eating it. We're pouring, gasoline on the fire, basically, because, okay, we're taking it in to do the right thing. And a lot of women are doing that, maybe feeling miserable. But because they're not breaking it down. So it's like we first want to fix the gut, but I don't know that in your case that that would be super helpful, because if you really have isolated and you think, maybe each time I've tested these fats, and I would always trust your intuition, that it's probably, I'm not breaking that down. One way to tell is sometimes there will be fat floating in the toilet. So just so that we all get graphic with each other. So there it is, right? What happens if living 50 stays of living 50? So you might see telltale signs that you're not digesting it. A lot of people do. So there's that way to tell as well. But you might try lipase for a period of time. During that time, you don't necessarily want to reduce the fat. I would, eat normally, not going out of your way to introduce it, but also not cutting out and see, do I notice a difference here, either in what changes occur in my skin or in digestion, digestibility, does that change? And, like with HCl, take what's on the bottle. If it says 2 caps are a serving, I would start with that and just do that for a few days before meals when you have a higher fat amount. So if you had a smoothie, I wouldn't bother necessarily. But if you had the eggs, I would. So you've got more fat in there. And so generally, it's probably going to be lunch and dinner, and then maybe you're also doing it for breakfast. But see if there's a difference then, and if there's not, then I would, okay, I'm going to try three before each meal and see
Okay.
how that helps, and test the amount of it without just flushing it and saying, well, that didn't help. You may need to take a little bit more for your body to get what it needs to do the job and break it down.
Does apple cider vinegar, what does that help digest? Carbs, proteins, fats, all of the above? What?
That helps. That's a natural way to help encourage your own HCl. So essentially, the betaine HCl is like going in, and it's like, okay, the cavalry is here. We're just going to take care of this, and we'll get it in right away. The apple cider vinegar is kind of a way to, pucker your lips, get your digestive enzymes and your saliva going, which is the first key. So you're kind of turning your own body source on, where you might want to actually start with the betaine and start the habits like sauerkraut, apple cider vinegar, lemon juice on meals, arugula, bitters in the foods that you're eating, to help your stomach acid kind of start yourself. But you're using the betaine as training wheels because you won't crash. But, so less of this. You don't have to take betaine HCl forever just because you need it right now, especially if you start these other things and realize, okay, now I've got these habits. These are working. I need less and less of this. That help?
Yes. Thank you for talking one-on-one and everybody else for indulging me. Thank you.
No, I so appreciate it. And I'm sure everybody else does too, because somewhere in there was probably a nugget for everybody else. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Carolyn says, have you heard of anyone getting hyaluronic acid gel injections in their knee? My sister's orthopedist mentioned it to her as help for her arthritis. Very recently and very briefly, Carolyn, and I can't tell you even where. It was more of an in passing. So I haven't heard enough to share these were good results or poor results. So I'm hopefully volumizing this for everybody here in the group. Have you heard, or has somebody you know, you've heard about them? So please share that. If so, share it in the either if you're here from Stronger, the Facebook group that you're in, or share it in the VIP announcements group, anywhere if you want to, and you've heard of that. And also, if you're here, of course, share it here. Linda Robb says, interested in this. My almost 87-year-old mom has really bad arthritis in her knee and leg. And just on that note, until some other questions come in, I will just share the obvious things that maybe we all just need a reminder on. And that is just looking at, any inflammatory foods that may be going in, contributing to the problem, and introducing more anti-inflammatory foods, but also looking at omega-3s. In introducing those, because of our omega-3 to 6 ratio is generally pretty skewed for many of us. And many of the sources of our omega-3s in food also are higher in omega-6s. So it's like we can't help ourselves with food alone unless we ate salmon every day for every meal, because that's omega-3, but not 6, and olive oil. And I think there's, sorry, I think there's some cause for concern with olive oil, and is it really authentically and clean olive oil? There is just a reason to look at your source, make sure that you're might want to be a little bit more investigative on not necessarily the store brand and not the place where you want to cut corners, using a brand that at least is reputable for your olive oil, because not all are what they say they are. But by using just those two foods, you are taking in more omega-3 than omega-6, but all other sources of foods that are rich in omega-3s, quote unquote, are richer in omega-6. And if we think of them as omega-6 turn on the inflammation faucet and omega-6 or 3s turn it off, we actually need more of an even ratio. It should be about 1 to 3 to 4 in terms of ratio. And we generally ride on average like 1 to about 20. So inflammation is high. And for us in the golden hour here, we are more prone to inflammation because estrogen was so protective. So the inflammation level in our tissues is easily up. Sorry about that. Amy shared, my mother had it several times and it was helpful. So that's great. Tony says, I have had the shots several times in my knees for arthritis, worked for about 5 years before I needed to get shots again. Good to know. Leslie said, my husband's knee surgeon said his patients have 50-50 success with hyaluronic injections. He hasn't tried them yet, though the cortisone shots stopped being effective for him. So good shares. Thanks everybody for offering that. Anybody else want to ask a question? Okay, no questions. Not a thing. Can't think of anything you need help with. Linda, how's the hip? Amber has a question. Is HRT something people generally stay on for a lifetime, or is it till menopause is over? Good question. So we're a generation that will be telling their daughters and daughters-in-law the answer to that question. We're the first generation who's had the option of staying on it for a lifetime. So it's number one. I don't know of anybody in their 80s or 90s who's been on it for a long period of time. So there may be somebody who's just gone on it and then turned 80, but that's kind of where we're looking. And so HRT has been around for a long time, bioidentical hormone therapy, a little less accessible and known about until very recently. So the pioneers and the docs, Lindsay Berkson, has been on my podcast a couple of times. And she's somebody, if you listen to the podcast, you know this, but she's had, I think, four, five different bouts of cancers, different types recurring. And she's been on hormone replacement for probably more than 3 decades. And one of the cancers she's had is breast cancer. And so she was an early pioneer in the research. And I think she started in her 20s when very early research was going on in New Orleans. I think, I'm not sure if it was at Tulane or where it was, but she's been on it and swears that it's been life-saving for her. And so she's well into her 70s. She would not like me saying, actually. So you did not hear it here first, but she's one of the probably longest living women that I know who have been on hormone therapy for a good or a better part of her life. And yet, all of the physicians that I know that are now in their 70s, the female physicians now in their 70s, and I know a few males who are as well. We've had a couple of them on, but I think it's a bigger deal for females. They all swear, but I'm never going off, unless research comes back and tells us otherwise and really does a hard turn. The longevity benefits are so much better that why would I ever stop? That's kind of their take on it. So we're hearing Dr. Felice Gersh is one of those who's well into her 70s, still preaching to the choir in terms of she's a international presenter and still somebody that people seek out and speak randomly about in master classes or coaching calls on a Monday night. So she is, someone who's been in the trenches for a very long time. So I think we are going to see people stay on them for life, and I think the statement she made was, I'm staying on it for life, probably 5 or 6 years ago. And now, if anything, I think we've got more and more research suggesting, why would I stop? Why would I not do this? Because of the protective factor, the bone and the hormone therapy, bone and resistance training definitely tied together. So, resistance training actually wins. You know, if we were doing one or the other and you had to choose, resistance training gets better results. And I can't quote you the study or the journal, but I spoke about that last October in Scottsdale to a group of physicians. And yet the gold standard is doing the resistance training with the hormone therapy. The results among subjects who were doing resistance or HRT or both or nothing were hands down better doing them combined. The same is not true necessarily with muscle. And just being on hormone therapy is proven to reduce bone loss. It's not proven to reduce muscle loss. However, not directly. And this is where, when I'm on a call with, say, Dr. Stuart Phillips, who does a lot of research on protein longevity resistance training and really is in that realm of muscle protein synthesis and how do we preserve it, but also really wanting to get people started. So making exercise easy, making protein requirements easy and within reach. And he says, you know, very clearly, you don't have to be on HRT in order to get benefits from resistance training. And women in menopause can gain muscle, no problem. However, the problem is there for women who struggle to comply or struggle with motivation because they're not sleeping. That will be helped by hormone replacement, who have aches and pains. Known now as the musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause, that will be helped by hormone therapy. So, those are really bothered by the severe decline of estrogen and connective tissue issues like tendons, joints, ligaments. Some of you struggle with plantar fasciitis or hip bursitis, or it's your shoulder or elbow, other tendonitis. Those things, if you've noticed them after the age of 40, are related to the drop in estrogen. So we can't say directly that estrogen drop results in a decline of muscle. However, we can say that it's harder for women who are not on hormone therapy if they're not sleeping, they have aches and pains, and/or frequent recurring injuries. Those things are going to make a difference in their ability to comply, even if you're motivated and disciplined, it will make it challenging. So it is very heart protective as well. So that's the other thing we know. And the inflammation piece, which is all about the heart, is another factor. So we will be the generation who determines, you know, what will happen. So we'll be the evidence everybody's waiting to get. So that's not a rush to the finish line, by the way, everybody. Does anybody else have a question? I have a question for all of you. So, for those of you who are here and you are a part of either the Essentials membership or the VIP annual or monthly membership, are you all on the app? And I'm going to ask this in the opposite side. Is anybody not on the app that needs help getting there? Because we are closing the doors to the membership, the website piece of things. May 1st. So right now, even if you're trying to log in, you're probably getting rerouted directly into the app so that you can access it there, just to be sure that you're getting the message we're going over here. So here's where the fun is. Catherine says, love the app. And you know, I love you right now, right? Thank you so much. Anybody else? Question, comment? Jane said essentials. Oops, things are flying by. Hold on. Yes, on the app. Where will these calls be? So these calls, the website, flipping50.com, is not going away. So these calls will still be in programs on the app. So when you log into the dashboard, you'll go to the programs area and be able to see the coaching call and click on it. So you will still log in for those calls. We may, so don't hold me to this, is why I haven't dangled this carrot. So why I'm doing it right now, I don't know. But I can't keep secret, clearly. But at some point, when we get everything into the app, we'll get everybody over there. We will potentially do live streaming of these coaching calls from the app. And so that would make them available there to watch live. So recordings, though, will go elsewhere. Hold on here. Love the app. Leslie says, still use the desktop PC workouts, bigger screen, and for resource info. So, and you're using that on the app, though, right? So I don't use the mobile myself, right? So you can use it on any device. It's just that you're using the app versus you're using the website. So absolutely. Yes, on the app, perfect. Dora said I'm on the app, but still having a hard time with finding, oops, where to put my steps for the challenge. Doris, and you are not wrong, no matter where you put it. Just want to make sure. The only problem would be if you're not getting those steps. So go get your steps. And those we're putting right in the challenges category. So in the community, there's a thread called challenges, and you can drop it right there. So everybody's dropping their comments in there. But if you put it in the 10K, we are seeing it. So you're all okay. Leslie says, sorry, on the website, on the desktop PC, use the app for other programs. So Leslie, are you aware that you can be on your desktop PC on app.flipping50.com? Have you tried that? So I use mine either on my desktop or my laptop at app.flipping50.com. Was not aware. Angels are singing right now. I'm positive of it. Just so, yes, try it. And you are not alone. Because I think the brain goes to, if you're not familiar with apps, we just think of them as something that live on a phone and it's mobile only. But it really functions just like a website. It functions and looks, when you have it on, much more like Netflix, and everything is bigger when you're looking through it. It's much more user-friendly. So let me know next week. Your homework is to come back and say, oh my goodness, tried it on there now. Okay, that was quick. So good. All right. Awesome. Peggy says, sorry if this is redundant. Haven't been able to watch many of these coaching calls. Where will your favorite things be on the app? They won't. So, and it's not redundant at all. So, just for clarity's sake, flipping50.com is not going away. The membership is kind of on a separate site, cafe.flipping50. That no longer is going to be in existence. We're on the app to deliver it, but flipping50.com will live on forever. So that is still there. My favorite things are open to the public, and that will always be there. So that will still have all the protein products, all the podcasts, the blogs, the Flipping 50 TV episodes, all of the content still lives there. Your programs, if you've ever purchased programs or the recording call, the coaching calls from today. If you've in the past, you've opted in for something, or you were on the summit and you have the recordings, the login to get to that, you'll still have that, but you'll be able to use all the exercise videos, master classes, and things that were membership specific inside of the app. Hopefully that helps. You're welcome. Thank you for asking. Actually, huge, because I think there is a little confusion about that. the website itself not going anywhere, but our memberships are totally in-app, and we will gradually have a few other things in one-off programs over there as well. In fact, if you have somebody who's interested, we are releasing, and you all will have access to this too, but it would be a great review or a refresh. It's not necessarily something that many of you are going to go and watch or see more than once, but just a 7-day introduction. If any of you were here and around when we did the in 2024 and 2025, I'm sorry, 23 and 24, we hosted the What, When, and Why to Exercise for Women 40 Plus Summit. And we did it in May both times. And from that, we had recordings. And so from that, if you've had any of the recordings, those are still in programs, just so that you remember that. But we also did some very special things, and we did like a free 10-day challenge. We did a free masterclass for some of those people. And all of those kinds of assets and special events, some of those might live stream through the app in the future. So just know that some of those things are coming, and if you've got friends who may want to start it. But one of the things from those summits we gave away during those 7 days, we did a every day I did a little short exercise, a warm up, and talking about what's involved in a really high quality warm up, what's involved in strength training and in mobility or flexibility work, talked about power, and so talked about a different component that we need or want to be true for our over 40 workouts. And those were so popular, I had people ask afterwards if we could still have access to those, and we hadn't thought about that. So I'm kind of redoing that, a bit updated from 23 or 24. And so that will be like a 7-day introduction. So not necessarily a workout, more of a tutorial on this is an example of a great warm up. This is an example of a mobility section, and you could actually do that with me if you wanted, or these are examples of power and jump or ground force reaction skills and why they're important. So just a good, here's my week, and a good review of, do I have all these things in my weekly workouts? Am I hitting those? And great ways to go and do that if you don't, inside of the app, is just drag them to the calendar and put them there, or to your own personal calendar, like your actual Google or Outlook calendar, depending on what you use, and put them there, the videos that you like in that category. So now you're actually planning in real time. And when you click on your personal calendar, that video is right there waiting for you. So it's much easier to organize on a personal basis and customize it. And of course, I could design a program that had all of those pieces, but the uniqueness of each and every one of you being, you may have a preference or a greater need for one area versus another. You may have existing things that you really like and do already. You may already be kind of invested in doing Pilates, or you go to a great yoga class that you enjoy regularly. You probably don't want that override of somebody else putting that in there. And so the ability to pick and choose, you know what, this doesn't exist in my daily calendar and my weekly calendar. So I'm going to drag some of those in, making it yours. So you and I then co-collaborate. Okay. Anybody else want to ask a question? Otherwise, it's going to be going, gone. So let me know.